Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Podcast Network Asia.
You know, you should always put yourself in positions of failure because I think that's very important. So if you become a little, if you feel that, you know, you're pretty comfortable and, you know, there's no risk at all in what you're doing, then probably you need to stretch out a little bit if that's what you want, if you're comfortable with that. Another thing I think is, I don't know if this is cheesy, I apologize if this is cheesy, but I think having, you know, a really solid partner, you know, having a good, in my case, I had a girlfriend, you know, and she became my wife. It is very important, I think, because it grounds you and it removes a lot of distractions, I think. And what you want and what you need becomes very clear to you because, well, what you love is already at home.
And good evening, good afternoon, good morning to wherever you're watching my podcast from here in the Philippines and from all over the world. And welcome to the RJ Ledesma podcast. In my podcast, I like to interview the country's pioneering and trailblazing business personalities and entrepreneurs to learn more about how they think about doing business. What are their success secrets? Can we use those same success secrets in our businesses? And how have they innovated, pivoted, scaled their businesses during the pandemic? But more importantly nowadays, what opportunities do they see emerging in the post-new normal scenario? Is there a business personality or entrepreneur that you would like me to interview here in the podcast? Please let me know. Just drop me a message. I would love to hear from them. You can all be also live right now on Kumu and on YouTube. Now tonight, a very special guest, my friend who has developed the Hustle PH app. That is Jason Gaguan. Now, Jason is a prominent figure in the Philippine market research industry and currently serves as the chairman of Agile Data Solutions. He has had extensive experience as an entrepreneur, which we'll learn about later on. He's also successfully built and managed multiple businesses. In fact, in 2017, he launched Mr. Speedy in the Philippines, which is now known as Borzo. Tonight, he'll be talking about his app called the Hustle PH. The Hustle PH app is revolutionizing the market research landscape by making insights accessible to businesses of all sizes. With a combination of speed, hyper-targeting, and efficient pricing, they cater to the top Fortune 500 companies, MSMEs, and startups. Right now, their clients include Unilever, Smart, Globe, PayMaya, Alliance, PNB Life Insurance, Japan Tobacco, Fonterra, and Unilab. So let's please welcome to the show, Jason. Jason, welcome to the RJ Ledesma podcast.
Oh, good evening, man. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me
here. Jason, really a pleasure over here. I love your background. Looks like you're a serial entrepreneur, sharing a lot of your own experiences as an entrepreneur here on the program. But let's start off with a very important question. I want to start off, first of all, hi, Teresita. Hi, Nance Luis. Thanks for watching the program here tonight. I want to find out what exactly is Hustle PH. And like I say, you know, like I preface in most of the shows, we tell them over here, you know, what does the elevator pitch that the people to explain what Hustle PH is all about?
So Hustle PH, it is a mission and data gathering app. So what we do is if you're a guy or it's free time or whatever, you can download the app and you go there and just answer surveys and do tasks. And then we pay you money for that. And those data, we get those data, pool them together, and create market insights. And these market insights, these are the ones that we give to different companies to guide how they do their business decisions. So on a nutshell, that's how we work.
Okay. I'm picking it up from major high level type of what Hustle PH is. But can you break it down a bit more for all of us? Especially, let's say, I my dad, when he used to, like, he used to listen to the show, and sometimes the titles I bring you, but the concept fly over their head. Can you help us laymanize? Ano bang ibig sabihin? What does Hustle PH do?
Okay, there are two things. No? So it's a platform kasi. So as a platform, you have two layers. There is the layer of the people, of the consumers or normal people around, and there's a layer for companies. If we talk about the layer for people, it is an app where you answer surveys, actually. Answer surveys or do like tasks, like take a picture of your hair, or take a picture of the shampoo you're using, or take a picture of the nearest sari-sari store. And then from those, you do tasks, and then we pay you money, like 10 pesos, 20 pesos, 30 pesos. Or if you're in a grocery, take a photo of your journey while taking your grocery, or a video. So take a video while you're, you know, doing your grocery, and then we pay you like 20, 30, 50 bucks for it. So that is what it does. If you're the person using the app, it's simply that. And then on the other end, if you're a company naman, so we use all those data points, and then we create market insights. You know? Like, for example, we have a client who wants to understand what product to create for women with colored wavy hair. Actually, colored purple hair that is wavy. So it's pretty specific, right? But us, we have a database of these people. I know that, for example, in my app, I have around 1,300 women with purple colored hair that are wavy up to here. So, and then they want to ask them questions. So I just target them and then ask them the questions this company want to ask to create that product. So simply that.
Got that. I'm just a bit curious. So Hustle PH is the app. The company is Agile Data Solutions. Is that right?
Yes, yes, yes. So Agile Data Solutions, okay, is like the mothership. And then we use the app to gather data.
Okay. In Agile Data Solutions, is that the only app that you guys are working on right now? Or that's the sole app that's sort of like the flagship of Agile Data Solutions?
Yes. So right now we have one. It's just the Hustle app. But we're going to release more Q4 and next year. Like, we have video conferencing. It's like a chat roulette where brands can talk to people, their target segments, and things like that. But for now, it's the Hustle PH app first.
I see. So basically, you're going to build up the app, sort of make it like a super app for market research, yeah, Qualitative market research for the companies when they need market research. So it comes from taking photos to actually sort of like one-on-one interviews with the target market. Is that right?
Yes, yes, yes. That's the dream. No? At the end of the day, what we want to do is connect brands or connect companies to their consumers. And then also on the consumer end, we want them just some sort of justice, right? Have their data and earn from their own data. So, yeah.
Okay. I'm just interested to find out so people just understand as they watch us. Are you running it? Is the company the way that you perceive it to be? Is it a startup company that you really want to hyperscale like other startups? There's other models, but there are other models where they just say, you know, I'm not here to hyperscale. I'm just here to create a nice, profitable company that doesn't require a lot of external capital to fund its growth.
So we really want to hyperscale. That's really the goal. So to really grow as fast as possible. But we are bootstrapping on the way. So, but if we need more capital, then we would ask. But for now, we think, hey, we are, you know, we're living in the clouds. We can bootstrap our.
Now, Jason, as I talk about this one, give us a bit more of a background on what does Agile Data Solutions do. And as I give it a background, let me just refresh my signal so I get much stronger, okay? So please feel free to talk, just in case I drop it for a bit.
Okay. So, okay. I'm left alone, so I'm going to talk about my company. So what do we do now? So background of our company, if you're an FMCG or you're FMCG or you're in telco or whatever, you know, so what we do is we give you data. Most likely you're using the traditional companies for your data. And well, the problem there is it's quite expensive, it's quite slow, the base is not really hyper-targeted. Hyper-targeted meaning you really can't go into the details. So what we do is we have 250,000 people in the app, and you can ask questions from those. For example, we could do retail audits. normally. Anyway, what you need to expect is the base is always at least 100 times more than the traditional one.
Keep on going. Now, I'm actually very curious, Jason. You said, no, the company's being bootstrapped. And for those who need to understand what bootstrap means, is basically that that's money coming out of your own pocket that's funding the growth of the company. But did you take any external money?
Yes.
Or any pre-seed income?
Yeah. We had a small investment coming from Wei Zhou, the CEO of Coins. So he's one of our investors. But aside from him, there's no one. It's just us. So we've been bootstrapping it, I think, for around 6 months. But after that six-month roll, when we started getting clients, we became profitable. Not as much, but quite profitable to pay for the bills and grow from there.
And what's your plan for growth aside from that one? So you've actually gotten some investors, you're profitable already. But you said your goal is to hyperscale. Do you plan to do that using the current investment you have right now, or do you plan to take in more investors for Agile?
The biggest, here's the thing. Mostly, you really need capital if you need a lot of marketing or to drive growth, installs, downloads of the app. But one interesting thing we found out, we didn't really expect it, is the app grows organically. Because, well, people just want to sit down and earn 10 pesos. You know, it's a fun way to earn money, so easy. So we are not expecting to spend much in marketing, at least for app downloads. Our goal really to be, so given that we don't spend much, that's really the tech. The thing about tech is it is there is a certain optimal spend, and after that, everything is just marginal increases. So in terms of spend, so it's not really that capital intensive. I think the biggest cost after tech would be really the sales team. So that is really the next plan, to really bolster the sales team, because we are not good salespeople. So especially me, I'm sure you can see it from the way I talk. So we really need salespeople who can really represent and sell our service more, you know, from our existing base of clients, and also expansion. So we are looking at expanding to different ASEAN countries. Thailand, one of our clients is pushing us to expand in Thailand. They said that they would give us enough projects so that we can open there. So we're looking at it probably Q4 or Q1 next year. Q4 this year or Q1 next year.
Yeah, well, it looks like you've entered into territory which you would call, that entrepreneurs are looking for, right? You found a sort of pain point that was there. And we're going to discuss a bit more about that later on how you came across the pain point that led to the creation of the Hustle PH app. But before that, what people don't know is that you've got a very interesting and very colorful story of becoming an entrepreneur. Let me just start with the very start. When you put this up in the first place, it's a market research company. What's your background in market research, communications, engineering? What is your background?
Yes.
If you don't mind me asking.
Yeah, sure.
Like college. What did you do in college?
I did chemistry. So my course was chemistry in college. It's pretty fun.
Chemistry?
Yeah. But the thing is, I was lucky enough. I was a dormer in college. I was lucky enough to have, actually, it's not really the market research, but more on the entrepreneurship side. I was lucky enough to have roommates who were sons of prominent businessmen in the provinces. And then they kept telling me stories about entrepreneurship. Because before this, I know nothing about this. From where I grew up, it's the slums. No one knows about, you know, starting businesses. So there, I learned a lot. And during summers, they pay for my ticket to go to Cebu and talk to their uncles. So that was really an eye-opener on you know, the big world of business. And after that, from chemistry, I moved to different sectors of the corporate world. So I joined a market research firm for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to sales in an FMCG. And then I went to brand in a telco. And then I went to
growth. Wow. What a colorful journey.
Yeah,
you kind of left the chemistry world and went into the...
Yeah.
So you intentionally moved to these different places because you had entrepreneurship as your sort of like your North Star, but you want to gain experience along the way. Is that a correct understanding?
Yes, that was planned actually. So that I really would go to every department of every corporate, and at least the business end of a corporation. So that when I was a kid, I understood two things. You need to understand a lot of things and you need to make friends with the right people, or at least a lot of people. No, so that was really the goal. So it was market research, it was sales, and then brand, and then I went also to tech growth. And then after that, I started Mr. Speedy. So it was really like, it was built. I think that the whole journey was quite built for this.
Just because a lot of entrepreneurs are listening, or aspiring entrepreneurs are listening to us here right now, would you suggest the same sort of self-driven career path that you chose na sabi mo sa sarili mo, okay, I discovered entrepreneurship. Now I wanna gain the skill sets to do that. Let me do my own career path journey. Is that something that you suggested with what you did?
Well, it depends, right? So because there are really talented entrepreneurs that they don't need to learn from other people. So it really depends. But in my case, given that, you know, I didn't take business, I have no business people in the family, it was very important for me to really immerse myself really first in how businesses are run, at least in the corporate world, to have a more structural knowledge. And then from there, after a while, I realized, well, that probably this time to start my own.
Okay. Now, tell me a bit more. Okay, so you went to all the different departments, and finally, I want you to get to the journey of getting to Mr. Speedy. How did that happen?
So, well, from where I grew up, it was the slums. So, when I was a kid growing
here, here in Manila ba, or in the province?
In Manila. So, okay. it was the vision of success of everyone who lives there is that having a motorcycle. That was the thing. Like, you know, if I buy a motorcycle, I'm done. I'm okay. And everyone has a motorcycle, but not everyone has jobs. And then also another thing was, people always don't really give them good jobs because there's this tendency to think that these people are lazy. You can't really rely on them. You know, they're always late or they are always absent. But me growing up with them really gave me a different perspective, because the reason that sometimes they are late or they don't go to work on time or something, it's because of a lot of external factors, you know. Someone gets sick, they have no money for fare and things like that. You know? So from those two things, knowing that motorbikes are really the epitome of their success, everyone owns them, and it's very difficult for these segment of society to really hold 8 to 5 jobs, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. jobs. Well, then what's the best recourse, right? Then develop an app that could, where they could work, use their motorbikes, and whatever time they want. And that was how the idea came in. And well, at that time, there were already existing winners in the Philippines. There was Lalamove, there was Grab Express. So I said, but the main difference is I know these riders, I grew up with these people, you know? So I said, okay. So I went to LinkedIn and started, you know, looking for investors and people. And then suddenly there was this Korean guy and then this Russian guy. And then these Russians, they have this thing in Russia. It's called Dostavista. And then I told them, why don't, you know, I use your technology. I open it up here in the Philippines. And after a lot of drinks and a lot of vodka and going to Moscow, a lot of times being the shortest person there, we opened up Mr. Speedy in the Philippines. So, yeah.
And this, well, so did you... In other words, Mr. Speedy, when you created it, was just a lot of intuition, gut, and out of vodka. Parang ganyan lang,
yeah,
di ba?
Yeah.
Laway equity, sweat equity. I would call laway equity, yeah, there, right?
It was that. Yes. It was just convincing them, actually. The interesting thing there was, I don't know, I think this is not racist, because this is a fact that Russians are not aware of the environment outside Moscow as much. You know, they're quite close. So for them, it's quite interesting for them to be able to open up in other countries, though they're not familiar how to really do it because they're so enclosed inside the country. So I found that a good opportunity for me. So, you know, there's this kid going, a Filipino kid, and giving them ideas, putting it in their heads. So it was not an easy sell, but it was a good sell.
So you're talking about 5 to 6 months to sell in the concept, is that right?
Probably around a little less, but yeah. I don't have enough money for fares to last 5 to 6 months of going back, but get back and forth. But yeah, probably 3 months.
So this is very interesting. You went there, you pitched to them, you were able to sell the idea based on your business plan, I guess, no?
Yeah.
And what was the unique selling proposition that you gave to them? What was that kind of point that they said, okay, I like your business?
No, actually, they were already running the same type in Moscow. So they were already the champions there. They held like 90% of the market.
Wow.
The thing about tech companies or companies in general in Moscow is they are very, what they call this, they're quite protective. So it's very difficult for outside companies from other countries to enter. So local companies really bloom. But the thing is, they are not aware much of competition, of how competition happens in a freer market. So that was the thing, you know. So I have been to different companies. I know how to run this. These riders, I grew up with these riders. I have a solid base of riders, at least from where I came from. So it's a good start. And it's not really expensive. I just got the tech. So I said, I'll handle everything. So it's just me getting their tech and probably fixing some documentations on their API. And everything's okay.
But that for me, no? I mean, the thing that I find very inspiring about it is it's all about the hustle. I mean, you'd find somebody in Russia to invest.
No, it's over here. So I messaged in LinkedIn first. So I didn't go there like just trying to knock on doors, you know. I was met a lot of people in LinkedIn. These are the people who just, you know, replied. It started with a Korean guy first, actually. It's a Korean guy, ex-CEO of Samsung Russia. So it's one of the investors there. So I started with him and then moved to the other Russians. But this was before the war. Yeah.
Before the war. Well, 2017, yeah. Is that right? Well, 2017, 2018.
Yeah, 2017-18.
Okay, after you came up with a concept for Mr. Speedy, the next is you have to develop the technology to put it together. Well, what is the next? Because many entrepreneurs are stuck on that idea. Okay, what's next? I mean, I got a great idea, but how did you actually execute?
No, so that's the thing, right? So I tried running it by myself, actually, but I really can't do the technology because, well, I can't do it alone. It's quite expensive to hire and I don't have money. So that's why I went to them to get their technology here. So I just white labeled the technology. So yeah, it was not that difficult on the technology end. On the execution end, what the route that we did so that it wouldn't be expensive. The thing about the rider system in the Philippines, the rider platform when it started here, is that they relied so much on Facebook marketing because they had a lot of money. So this Lala Moves and Grab Express, what they got really, they focused on like individual people, like just delivering things. You know, like I forgot something at home, I'll use, you know, Lala Move to have it delivered to me. Things like that. But they really did not focus as much on certain business sectors. So what we did to compete there was we started with food subscriptions because this is a good business then. It's like, you know, they deliver to the same address every time. And then with already a solid address. So I can use that with minimal riders. I do not need to have like, you know, 100,000 riders all around the Philippines. I just need a couple of riders who I know would go to this place every 5 a.m. and then would go to this place again every 6 p.m. And then the differentiator is if they go to Lala Move or Grab, they do not really know how much they will earn. And second is they do not know where they would end up. But if they start with me, they already have an idea of how much they would earn because it's already a set path. And of course, they can schedule their day. So if they still have, you know, work in the morning, they can go there 5 a.m. and still go to work afterwards. That was the beginning on how we started. And no Facebook marketing because it was all sales. We just went to different...
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Yeah, no Facebook marketing. Even the recruitment of the riders, right? That's key.
The recruitment of riders, you know, I lived with these guys, man. So it was just...
That's why, so kilala mo sila.
Yeah, it's just like gin bilog. You go to the, you know, the covered boards and it's like, bro, come here, have drinks. And then, you know, just bring them all in. And the word spreads easily, especially if you're giving good money, you know, fair money. So yeah, that's good.
Can I ask you, Jason, what did you, I mean, you worked in several companies and different departments before you put up Mr. Speedy. Can you share with me, what did you learn from the other company that you worked for and what that you were able to apply in Mr. Speedy?
I think the thing about, this is nothing against startups, no, because there are a lot of ways to run a startup. There are a lot of ways. But I think the thing that I carry is to do structure, no? So because in corporates are very, you know, they like process and structure and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, I think, one of the things that I really, really got there, you know, to be able to structure, for example, how to go from one place to another and put a little freedom still, but putting structures. Second thing is, I think, to be able to to be able to properly, what they call this, to properly forecast things. Because normally, it's quite difficult if you do not have a background really of what's happening on ground, or you do not have an idea of how, for example, you have a new product, how do people really buy them? No, how many people would buy them immediately and everything? So I think those are the things. And I think lastly is to be more grounded, I think, on the results that are possible. So, and I am not saying that I'm not hoping for a big win, right? But the grounded thing at least puts expectations properly so that the team even, you know, you put targets that they can hit. So I think those are
the things.
Now, moving forward, okay, you got the investment, you moved forward, you got the technology. Was there a point where you felt like, as any entrepreneur, well, this might fail, or, you know, it won't work? I mean, of course, everything sounds good on paper, right? And entrepreneurs never like talking about the downtime, but there is, right? Was there a point when you were doing Mr. Speedy, where going, oh no, this might not work, or it's a really bad day, I want to quit?
Yeah, man. This is the reason we're always drunk in the office. No, I'm just joking. So, a lot of times it happens. Mostly at the beginning, it's really having a solid base of riders. So that was number one. And a lot of people that you've talked to, or small businesses that you've talked to, and, you know, really trusted you, and you're letting them down. So those are the normal days. But I think the biggest thing that really, you know, hurt us was, and it's 100% my fault, was we had a lot of, at that time, a lot of pilferage, a lot of people stealing from us. And, well, of course, it's the fault of the riders stealing, but it's also mainly my fault, because at that time I was so focused on growth. I was so excited, like, hey, everything's growing. Let's just get more clients.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's just be a little more risky. For example, we're going beyond the insurance cap. Oh, you know, that's okay. We need to grow. And, well, yeah, so it's millions and millions in pilferage. It was difficult money. A lot of debt. It was really painful. It's really difficult. I don't know. There's no other way. It was the worst time, man. Worst time.
But obviously, growing pains, Sandy, but things that you'll never learn unless you're an entrepreneur running a business, no?
Yeah. I of course it was growing pains, but those were pains that I could have, you know, I could have not suffered if I just looked at the Excel once in a while, you know.
Okay, now aside from that, what I mean, mentioned Mr. Speedy gave a good fight, right? I mean, it's you know, what was that point when you were doing Mr. Speedy when you realized, oh my God, it's going to work, or like, wow, Mr. Speedy's grow to this size? When was that your own like milestone for you where you saw that happening?
Yeah, so that's the thing about me. I always try to convince even small wins are big milestones. So yeah, but in hindsight, I think the first one was when we were able to corner the food subscription market, because it was a niche. And then it was the first thing we cornered, and we had a solid base of riders and deliveries and clients, and that was the first one. But I think the second one was when we did this strategy. That's a cool strategy, I think. You know, it was that time when I was driving in Edsa, and one of our competitors, I saw that they had a lot of billboards which was not that useful, I think, in my head. So I thought that this guy is having another run. So I mean another fund run. So they're trying to get money. So at that time, I said, okay, if that is the case, they are very, very, their profitability is very, very important. Now, so anyway, so that was the concept. The thing about this competitor was they were so big. They were so big. Everything we do, for example, we lessen the price, they just lessen their price too. So nothing, right? So what I did was I lessened the price, but I also lessened the our commission. The normal commission was 20%. Lessen it to 10. So that at that time I said this competitor would not follow me because they own 80% or 78% of the market share. They slash their commissions, their profit margin, their revenues would be 50% smaller. I only had 7-8%. I have nothing to lose. So what we did, we lowered the price and then we slashed the commission rates. And then in the beginning there was little traction, but after a week, specifically after a week, suddenly if you book in our competition, you would not find any riders because the price was so low and then the commission was still high. So they don't earn anything. And suddenly the riders were just, you know, using Mr. Speedy at that point. And then the customers, we do not have money for Facebook marketing, just suddenly realized, okay, if I book here, it's the same price, but the riders come immediately. So, and then it just snowballed. And then I think at that time I said, oh man, first thing that I thought of that worked. No, I'm joking. But yeah, that was a good point.
Wow. 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 It's almost like a David versus Goliath story. What you did was something very, you know, but from you, at least, kumbaga, you didn't have a lot. Hindi malaking tinatayang mo niya, di ba? I mean, in other words, what you were losing in terms of lowering the commission, the scale for him was much, much larger for your competition.
So that was big. I think we grew immediately to 27% market share, if I'm not mistaken. So that was enough. But yeah, we have nothing to lose except for my pride and my ego. But yeah. that was it.
Now, so Mr. Speedy grew to a specific size, but then eventually, did you make the decision to sell, Mr. Speedy?
Yeah, well, it was my decision, but also their decision. It was too big, you know. And then when they found out that they can open to other countries, they opened to a lot of countries already. So yeah, it was a good price. So
yeah. Well, was it a difficult decision for you to? Because I mean, it's your baby.
Yeah, it was sad. It was difficult, yes. But there are some decisions that, you know, I don't have a hand in. So yeah, but still okay. I mean, there's no bad blood. So I still drink vodka with them. So yeah.
Okay, but letting it go. What were the lessons that you? I mean, this is the first I've seen it. I mean, it's an interesting story. You put something up and you had to let it go. What were the key lessons that you gained from the Mr. Speedy experience?
Yeah, it's very boring to check your financials. And at some level, I think it's not really the boredom. I don't know if it's only me, but I feel certain anxieties when I look at the financials because I'm afraid to see that, you know, I'm losing money or probably I'm closing down. So for me at that time, it was very difficult. You know? So, but yeah, I think the biggest lesson is, you know, do the boring stuff. Because it's going to save you a lot. So I think that's number one. And number two, I think it's just, I don't know, be work with, I don't know. So yeah, I think that's it. And the other things, it's just the things I did. So it's like, okay, let's just do it. Okay, let's just do it. So yeah, it's more of that.
Got that. Now, moving on. So, okay. That chapter of your entrepreneurship closed, then a new chapter opens up. I want to figure out right now, because like you said, you made the rounds of business. You've gone to different departments. You put one company. The company had transfer ownership. And then now, what led you to the creation of the Hustle app? What was the pain point you saw? Because this is a pain point that you see from a market research standpoint, if I'm correct, no? But then how did this pain point come to you?
Yeah.
And how did you think that it's going to be something that potentially you'd like to work on to solve?
Yeah, so it was not solely me. We are a group, so we were three people. So during the pandemic, it was the height of the lockdowns. And then one of my friends, I said, hey, man, let's do something. And I was doing nothing. So I said, okay, let's do it. So, and then we just brainstormed. No? And at that time, it was the peak of, you know, it's like activism against Facebook, because Facebook was stealing. There was this thing about activism against Facebook, quote-unquote, stealing data. No, so that was the thing. So we said, okay, stealing data is an issue, and probably we can work on that end. So that was one. The other end was one of my friends, actually not only one, a lot of them were complaining about their market research companies. So I am in different chat groups, and at that time, Inuman, are you familiar with that, where people drink and video calls? So that was, everyone was doing it. So when we were doing it with my friends, a lot of my friends were talking about how their data from their market research is really bad. Like, for example, if a sales guy is saying that, you know, my KPIs are not hit because I'm sure that the numbers are really wrong. And then we delve deeper. So, okay, what's the issue there? So the issue then was, because they were traditional market research, it's very difficult for them to go out, because traditional market researchers work by going to houses. They knock on doors. And then you know, there's a survey form. But during the pandemic, you can't do that. And then, for example, when they do like distribution checks, they go to sari-sari stores. They go around, and then there's this one person going around checking stuff, sari-sari stores. During the lockdowns, you can't do that. So the data was so bad. All the data was just not good. And then, so we thought, okay, what if we just do that data? We buy the data from these people, you know, and then sell it more expensive. And yeah, that's how the idea came up.
Wow. Okay, great. I mean, that's really, that's entrepreneurship. That's the entrepreneurial mindset at work, finding a pain point that needs to be solved, or making things less frick, or making things, more frictionless. And at the same time, putting a premium on the service that people can't actually get. So a lot of great things to learn from your example. But now again, I'm going back to like the same thing for Mr. Speedy. You were lucky that the partners that you had the technology to help develop Mr. Speedy. How did you start off with the technology to develop House of PH?
Google Suite. In the beginning, I'm sorry to my clients who are listening, but the first project really was just fully Google Suite. So we had like Google Forms, Google Sheets, we connected all this stuff, and then we just sent it to people just to check traction. No, and then we posted it on Facebook, and people answered it. They uploaded photos. They answered correctly. And yeah, there was traction. So we said, okay, after this project, then let's create the technology to do this. And yeah, the technology is not that difficult. It's just a platform that, you know, gets data. And then the databasing is also not difficult, because all we need is to fix the architecture of the data that we get. So actually, the idea is quite simple. It's not really complicated. So, yeah, so the technology was not difficult. But I think the problem we had then up to now is that hiring programmers is quite a challenge right now. Your competition is the US rates because of work from home. So, but aside from that, technology was not that, it's not rocket science, at least for Hustle PH.
But given where you're right now with Hustle PH, how do you plan to maintain, I guess, its sustainable and scalable competitive advantage versus the other more established market research firms? Because I'm sure they're looking at you and saying, like, okay, what he's doing is something we can potentially do as well, right? I mean, it doesn't take long for them to, you know, and they might have deeper pockets than you and say, okay, if he's doing that, I'm going to do something like that. So what are you doing to make sure that the Hustle PH stays ahead?
Okay, so what we are doing is, well, really growing fast, you know. So what we do is, for example, we acquire, because our acquisition of clients is not really fast right now. But what we do is, if we get one client, we chip in to, because there's just one big pie of budget, right, for market research, for example. So we chip into that budget little by little until we reach like 40-50% of the total budget. I have an idea of how much that is because I work there. I work in that industry. So yeah, so chipping in quickly, and then if we get the share immediately, then probably it would be very difficult for them to follow, I think, because if there's one thing about corporations is they move quite slow. So because if you would look at market research in the Philippines, there was no innovation for the past, what, 40, 50 years. In the Philippines, there's no big innovation. So using that track record, probably it will take them a long time to follow. But to go against that, we're really trying to grow as fast as we can and chip into their project so that we get it already before they follow.
Well, and similarly to my question about Mr. Speed, you know, and which is also, which comes to Hustle PH, was there also a time that you were worried that the effort that you're putting into this business might not be worth it? I mean, of course, height of the pandemic. So, you know, some things look good. I think it magnified during the pandemic. If it was bad, it was really bad. If it's a good solution, it was a really good solution. How did you, was that time you're going, okay, this might not work. Let's scrap it and do something else.
Yeah. So, the thing was, we tried different models actually. So of the business. So in the beginning, to battle that, we just tried to open ourselves, because normally what companies do is they create the product and they start selling it, right? But from what you heard from my story, we are creating the product while we are getting clients. So the risk of creating the wrong product was quite low. Because, yeah, oh, that's what you need. We have that. But actually, we will build it. But we'll build it, really build it. But, you know, at least we're building it for them and we know that there's a market for that. So, and then the repeat rate is quite high, because if you get a client, they're yours forever. And the contracts are years, like 1-year contract or, you know, long contracts. So you can get the money fast. But problem-wise, there are a lot of times where, you know, we have payroll problems, but we always get lucky. There's always this one client who is, you know, gonna pay earlier. So yeah, and then we got lucky also because we pivoted. We opened up to AI. So AI, there are AI companies that use us to gather, you know, data for their machine learning models. So that was also a pivot that saved us during like mid last year.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading about Hustle PH, and you've got some top tier clients over there, some of the top Philippine companies over there, which is very impressive for a company that's barely 2 years old, born in the pandemic. So for me, what was the milestone moment for you guys? How do you think you were able to get such large companies with such, I would say, but versus a market research company, your track records are shorter, but then wow, You gained this much, these reputable clients in such a quick period of time. What was your own take on how you were able to do that?
Well, because I know their problems. I've been in their shoes, you know. Like, I've been a brand manager. So I know that, okay, brand manager, I know your issue is that you need your data fast so that you could, you know, you could release immediately. I know what type of data that they need. I had that job before. So when we talk to them, it seems like they're talking to someone who, you know, when I think in my head, I think that was the thing. Or for example, you're talking to a salesperson and you're talking about distribution. And I've been a salesperson, so I know that this distribution data is very important because your bonus is, you know, is tied to that stuff. So you need to ensure that that is correct, because right now, for example, traditional market research firms just use 150 stores to project what? 1.1 million sari-sari stores. So these are the things that, you know, normal, because traditional market research companies, they do not release raw data. So, but we also release. So if you're talking to a market research department, that makes them very happy. Oh, yeah, I have raw data to play with. So I think it's more of, because I went to their shoes, there's a certain connection on the when we talk. So, yeah.
Got that. And when free was the point for Agile or for Hustle, where you said, wow, it's made it, or we made it, or it's your, I'll use the word again, milestone. When that milestone, you said, wow, Hustle made it.
Yeah. So first was when we got the first, the second project of our first paying client. So they liked it, so they repeated. So that was like a proof of concept in our head that, okay, if they're repeating, then that's okay. Because what we really did was when we started the companies, we ensured that our prices are already that. There are no discounts, there are no anything. Just to ensure if there's really product market fit. Because that's the best way, right? If companies are willing to pay you, then it means that they like something. So we do not do free stuff and stuff like that. So that on the repeat rate, on the first repeat, that was the first milestone. But I think the biggest milestone was, at least up to now, was when we, end of 2022, there were companies that gave us one-year contracts and started kicking out their old market research firms. And yeah, that was okay. At least we won in this company. That's good. So it's time to win in others. So yeah.
Okay, then having said that, I mean, you guys are on a roll. Where do you see where you're going to be taking Hustle PH and maybe even Agile as a whole in the next 3 to 5 years?
Yeah, okay. So, well, for things like this, talk is cheap, right? So, because it's very difficult to know really where you're going to go, right? So, but of course, we have a plan. But so what we are looking at is really expand using our existing base of clients, because of course, they're also in different countries. So expand on the countries where they are also. Target at least the ASEAN or Southeast Asia, these countries, because, well, these countries for them, you know, 10 pesos, 20 pesos, still a big sum of money or something that, you know, they would spend 5 minutes on. So that's that. Expanding really in Southeast Asia or ASEAN. See where it goes, but again, follow the money, follow the clients, whatever they want, because from our experience, that's really the best way to know if the product is good.
Got that. Now, the interesting question I want to ask is that, so you are involved in market research and you've seen market research trends and data from different industries, right? Because of what you do. So we've got entrepreneurs listening here to the program, to the podcast, and I'm sure there are a lot of business opportunities that you've spotted as you've seen across the different industries. What are these opportunities that you don't mind sharing about what you've learned from different industries where there's still an opportunities for entrepreneurs to get into or to leverage?
Well, I'm not really a guru of sorts, but probably I can tell some stories. So I think the way of omnichannel and hyperlocal, that the trend of omnichannel hyperlocal or hyperlocal omnichannel is going. No, so what I mean about that is that brick and mortar. So how brick and mortar and online, the interplay of that thing. No? So the trends that we are seeing now is that brick and mortar is not dying at all, even with online coming in. So brick and mortar is still a thing, but there should be an interplay with online. So what does that mean? No. Because one of the challenges right now is faster delivery. So because you always want faster and faster and faster and faster, right? But delivery becomes quite expensive and it's difficult to do. A lot of companies are doing dark stores, things like that, but dark stores are quite expensive to do. No? So one thing that we are seeing, one trend that we are seeing, especially for the big brick and mortars, no? It's the omnichannel play using their existing brick and mortar stores or real estate. Now, as the stores also become quote unquote dark stores, now, so which makes delivery points quite smaller. I think the big opportunity there is sari-sari stores. If you could make sari-sari stores or dark stores, if you're an FMCG or something, that would solve a lot of things. Now, because this, and the good thing about that is these people already know the other people in the environment. So that interplay, that's one. And I think another thing is the flat B. Because for a while, the growth of cities really it is vertical. No? So you clump in one place and everything is vertical. But right now, it's really becoming horizontal. So I think that's an opportunity to tap on. Data is showing that delivery times now are taking longer. Because, well, before you only deliver to one point and then you already deliver to 20, 30 people because they live in one condo. But now it's spreading up because people are living in houses farther from Metro Manila because of the work from home situation and this thing. So I think that's also one thing to tap that flattening of the growth of cities. Yeah, and women in gaming, I think also. Women in gaming is one thing. It's very big. And the cool thing about that is it's not only like young women. It is a little older women, like 30s to 40s, are going into gaming. It started during the pandemic, and they're not leaving. So the thing was, they started doing it during the pandemic just to become closer to their kids or to their loved ones who are a lot younger. But it stayed. So the growth of online gamers for women or in the 30 to 40 years old or even above 40 is really high. And then even after the pandemic, it stayed. So that's also one thing.
Wow. Well, thanks so much. That was more than what I expected. Thanks so much, Jason. I think a lot of people can be able to gain from that one. And, you know, as we start, you know, I didn't realize how long we've been taking this discussion. We're almost reaching an hour.
Yeah.
But then right now, I want to step back a bit more. No, I mean, like I said, I really respect the hustle and the entrepreneurial drive that you had to put this up. I mean, this is Mr. Speedy from scratch, hustle from scratch. I mean, you start guy from the slums, travel, goes through the different company, corporate background until he finally puts up a company. Really great story. What can you share with the people listening to us here right now, both aspiring entrepreneurs or people who are working their corporate jobs here right now? What are your own, I guess, quote unquote, success secrets or best practices that you've learned that you want to also share with potential future entrepreneurs or people who want to do good in their businesses?
Okay, so first and foremost, I'm not a success. So I think I can't give successful tips, but I think probably learnings that I've had. One thing is probably, always putting yourself in positions of failure. So I had a boss who told me that. I was a new believer. He told me that, you should always put yourself in positions of failure because I think that's very important. So if you become a little, if you feel that, you're pretty comfortable and, there's no risk at all in what you're doing, then probably you need to stretch out a little bit if that's what you want, if you're comfortable with that, right? So I think that's one. Another thing I think is, I don't know if this is cheesy. I apologize if this is cheesy, but I think having a really solid partner, having a good, in my case, I had a girlfriend, and she became my wife. It is very important, I think, because it grounds you and it removes a lot of distractions, I think. And what you want and what you need becomes very clear to you because, well, what you love is already at home. So I think that, I apologize that cheesy and weird, but that's all I know.
But that's a great and refreshing take on the business, especially the importance of partnerships. Again, thanks so much, Jason of Agile Data Solutions at Hustle PH. Jason, just in case people want to try out the Hustle PH app, they can actually earn money from it, right?
Yes, they
go to the app for the consumer facing ones, for people who take pictures of their customer journey. What is the website that they can visit, or is it in the Google Apple Play Store?
You can go to the, we're still not in Apple, but we're releasing Apple next month. So June, that's already near. But for Android, you can download our app. You can just go to the Android store. But if you can also visit we have a web app. So it's hustle-ph.com. So you can try it out. Log in and then try the missions. It's fun. You would earn at least like $5 a day. So yeah, it's cool.
And then if their company is also interested to secure your services, do they go to the same website?
Yeah, they could go there or they could go directly to Agile Data Solutions. I'm sure we have sent the LinkedIn message to you. So because we spammed all of you, so probably you could just check your message and just reply to that if you want.
Got that. Again, thanks so much to Jason Gaguan of Agile Data Solutions and of course, Hustle PH, congratulations for all. Kaya pala Hustle PH, kasi your life has been all about hustle. Again, thanks so much. This is the RJ Ledesa Podcast. We will see you in the next podcast. Thanks, guys.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.